I heard that Mystic Meg now lives on a pig farm in Wiltshire with Wolf from Gladiators. Fact. The things you learn on this podcast, eh? Amazing. Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast.
Welcome to the Failing Writers Podcast. We're again, back. As that nice lady has already said.
That's no nice lady, that's John's wife.
Oh, sorry, yes. My mistake.
Steady on now, she's a listener.
Well, we've got a lot to get through, haven't we? Because our brains have been doing a lot of work recently, You'll shortly find out. But before we get into that...
I was going to say our brains have been sweating. I don't know if brains don't sweat, do they? That'd be weird. Bad, wouldn't it?
It's brains.
Let's have a brain sweat.
Brains.
No, imagine if your brain did sweat when you thought a lot, when you really put the thought in, you just could feel your brain like getting, it's getting really heavy. You have
wet
to like
brain in there.
I don't know.
Maybe that's what earwax is.
Just like brain sweat
leaking out. I think brains are like dogs. They don't sweat.
I see. They pant.
Right. Just sticks its tongue out to cool down.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But I think if we did want to go back to sort of maybe late 90s and set up a London agency, brain sweat would be quite good.
Yeah, brain sweat.
All one word. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to brain sweat. Yeah.
But anyway,
to a frozen lager.
We don't have time for any of this.
No, we don't.
Because we've got a crack on. But before we do, we should mention that our Halloween flash fiction competition is still open for entries.
It is.
Unless you're listening to this after Halloween and then it's already closed. But right now, it's still open for entries. So make sure you listen to episode 24 and go to failingwriterspodcast.com/blog for all the details. You could win £100. But before all of that, what are we doing today?
Well, when you look into my brain, you will find a lot of tiny little guys all inside. They are the guys who are controlling my mind. You probably have some too. They're pressing buttons and controlling my ideas. They make me eat too much, they make me drink beers. They make me Facebook, make me go to IKEAs. But sometimes they go wild. And it's time for a brainstorm. You got to totally obliterate a fear and have a brainstorm.
I feel myself sort of clicking my fingers along to that one. That was quite a nice little ditty.
That was possibly one of my favourite songs about brainstorms that I've ever heard.
In the history, yeah.
It's in my top three of brainstorm tunes, that.
Yep.
Brilliant.
I can't think of a better one.
I still maintain at the end of the year we should do a top 40, top 10.
Yeah, best of show.
Little countdown
of our
show.
Greatest hits. Yeah, let's do it. We've got some songs in there now, I tell you.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you guys could tell, but that song was designed to massage ideas out of your head and onto the page.
Ah.
Did you,
I,
are you feeling that?
I feel something. I just thought I just had a bit of a headache, but maybe.
Yeah, it definitely made my head hurt.
Not quite what I had in mind.
But if that was what was meant to happen with it, John, you maybe should have listened to that.
Before
we did the brainstorm we're just about to talk about.
Ah, yeah, but I hadn't written it.
You're massaging the ideas out of our head after we've had the ideas.
To be fair, some ideas did come out of our head.
They did.
And I think you've always got to accept with brainstorms, it's about getting the ideas out there, isn't it? And being willing for them to fail or succeed or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got to give away ownership of your ideas, haven't you?
Blue sky thinking.
Yeah, you run up the flagpole, man, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and very much put to the test the idea that there's no such thing as a bad idea. I think we pushed that to the limit during this brainstorming.
You really did.
In a training thing that I used to do on brainstorming, I addressed the no idea is a bad idea, which is meant to be like a positive reaffirming statement, isn't it?
Yeah.
What it actually means is don't be scared to share any idea. It doesn't actually matter whether it's good or bad. We can decide that later. Just get it out.
Yeah.
But then it's distilled down into this, there's no such thing as a bad idea, which some people who have bad ideas on a regular basis hide behind.
Yeah.
As like a, Well, no idea is a bad idea. And you think, actually
that,
it is.
That one was.
And then I found this brilliant picture of a US patent for a hamster jacket. And it was this is this suit that's got tubes going through the limbs and across your torso that hamsters can run around in.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, someone needed to tell them that was a bad idea.
Apparently they? Richard Gere wore it on the red carpet. Oh, tell me. Film premieres. Oh. Oh, 1980s urban myth.
Can't beat him,
can
you? Can't beat him, yeah.
I tell you, this show, if nothing else, bloody current.
Contemporary,
isn't it?
Yeah. Contemporary isn't it really? Humor.
Heck yeah.
But yeah, anyway, onto the brainstorm.
Yes.
It happened, didn't it?
It did.
It did happen. It did. It happened over Zoom, which is why the quality of some of this isn't quite up to the our usual standard, to be fair.
Do you mean the quality of the recording or the quality of the
well, let's find out, shall we?
A bit of both. Yeah, so we can all now listen to that brainstorm again for the first time, because I haven't heard it before. Our listeners haven't heard it before. Let's share that experience together.
And I've certainly tried to wipe it from my memory too.
So shall we, before we divulge... Shall we just quickly talk about what we plan to do, what we brought to the table?
Oh, yeah. Why the hell did we do it in the first place?
Why were we doing it? And, yeah, and what was it we were doing?
Good question, John.
Thank you very much.
Answer them.
Would you like me to answer the question?
No, yes.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
In a typical, yeah, John Rand rhetorical way. Well, I'll tell you, Bertie, what we were doing was we have a guest coming up on the show who is a commissioning editor for television, for UK TV.
And it's quite exciting, isn't it?
It's very exciting indeed. And we thought it would be quite a nice idea to pitch him some ideas for some shows and see if we can come up with something that might, you know, possibly tickle his fancy.
Yeah.
And so we went away and we came up with a few ideas, a few fairly random ideas, and brought them to the table and then discussed them. And that is effectively what this is.
What are we doing then?
This is our ideagasm. Should we dive straight in? Should we do one at a time? Have you got you got three each? Is that right?
Let's just do them all at once.
And whoever's, just throw them in the pot.
Whoever can hear the most, that must be the best idea. Just literally all talk at once.
Sounds great. Let's go. On your marks. Gets,
I think let's leave it to Zoom to decide whoever's the green one at the time. I must confess, I've only got two. I've only got two ideas.
What? To be fair, I was telling Katie I had some ideas, and she asked me what they were, and I couldn't remember a single one, which probably tells you something about the ideas.
It's not a good thing, is it?
It's not a good sign.
See, all the ideas I kept coming up with were ideas that I've already had. So I thought, I can't really use these. Have got to be like totally fresh, new ideas that I've never had before.
It's that thing as well. What's an idea? Like, well, we'll just have a really funny program about horses. And that could be, a good idea.
You just start working on that. Yeah.
But there's not a lot of flesh on the bones there, is there?
Not really.
There's a market for horses.
Not very high concept. Yeah, exactly.
I was sort of thinking about the, you know, we had that little discussion about originality and the way that things are kind of getting commissioned. I thought there's a bit of a pattern for things that are a bit like other things, but in slightly different settings. Mm-hmm. So you know that sort of the famous elevator pitch for Aliens being, you know,
just waiting for you to run through a very long pitching process and then say like Antiques Roadshow on horseback.
That is basically where I went. So
celebrity chefs cook inside World War II tanks.
Yeah, that's pretty much. But I thought take a sort of successful comedy and just phrase it in a different way. So Sex in the City is about a columnist, right, who has sort of adventures during the week, and it all goes to inform her column. I thought, what about a group or an individual, some sort of podcast type thing, where somebody is having adventures during the week, and it all goes to inform their podcast for that week.
Is this a podcast?
No. This is sitcom idea.
Is this like, I hate to do this, Dave. I'm currently watching one, Murder in the Building, with Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Oh, is it any good?
It's all right, actually, yeah. But there's a murder in the building, and then they start a podcast, and then each episode is their episode of a podcast being made while stuff's happening.
Whoa. There we go. Right, see?
So sorry, Dave. But that mean that does mean it. That's actually a really good idea.
So that was the first one.
That was a really good idea.
It's annoying, though, isn't it?
I'd say so myself.
And it did feel awful there, deflating that balloon, because you think, well, yeah, that is a good idea. And you can tell it's a good idea because someone else has done it, spent a lot of money on it, and it's now on out there, Disney amazing. Channel or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. All you need is to get some really well-known multinational successful comedians involved in your production.
Yeah, I think Steve Martin co-wrote it, so I don't know if that had any bearing on his success being picked up. I doubt it.
Almost.
I doubt it.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a bit like what Adrian was saying, isn't it, really? You've got to get on those ideas.
Yeah, no point hanging about.
Around. I mean, you can't talk about ideas on a podcast. I mean, that would be the worst thing you could possibly do.
Stupid, wouldn't it? What sort of idiots would do that? Also, thinking back, I do like the idea of a funny show about horses. I think, in retrospect, that's a winner, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think what we've done is gone through the entire thing and missed out
the best idea.
On the actual idea.
Oh. Funny show about horses.
Yeah. Antiques Roadshow on horseback. It'd be good, actually, that, wouldn't it? Because imagine the amount of stuff that would just get broken.
Yeah.
All these Ming vases and old paintings. Oh, I've dropped it. Next. It's gone now. Keep writing. Anyway, over to John. It's got the classic Regency furniture. Oh, bloody hell. He'd have to be on a Shire horse or something for that, wouldn't he? I'd get a full... Hey, brilliant. Let's do it.
Yeah.
That concludes it, then. I guess we'll just go with that.
Yep. I think that's the end of the episode. Thanks for coming, everyone.
So that one got poo-pooed quite quickly.
It didn't get poo-pooed. I won't have that, actually.
No, you're right. It wasn't poo-pooed. It was... What was it? It was...
Dismissed.
Dismissed.
It was dismissed, but with... great admiration. And
I think it was an honourable discharge. That's what it was.
Yeah, definitely,
yeah.
Definitely.
And number two, let's go for, speaking of being poo-pooed.
Well, so my only other one, because they're not going to be making any more Friday night dinner now that the dad's dead. I thought, about
Tuesday night supper?
And we have a spin-off series, Monday morning breakfast.
Yeah, Friday night dinner style thing, but based around like a poker night. It's people get, you know, the sort of old mates getting together every sort of Saturday night or what have you.
It adds a little frizz on as well, doesn't it? Because there's the losing money to each other and
Yeah. So it's all about their sort of friends dynamics, and you have different people turning up or things going on in the house.
Yeah.
So because Friday night dinner was essentially a really simple concept. It was just people going to a house for a dinner every week, and then crazy stuff would happen.
Do you do a poker night, Purdy?
I do, yeah. Not that regularly.
I do as well. So
you've done it for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, qualified to write it.
So I thought it was, I thought it was something we know a bit about, and it's just a kind of, it's a really simple engine to get people together. But then from that basis, anything could happen. It's probably really cheap to make as well.
Yeah,
which is quite good for.
You can see the big arc as well, can't you, for the series where they're really,
because it's the stuff that's going on in the individual people's lives.
Yeah.
Or just even the episode where one of the guys, it's these five or six regulars, and someone just brings a random friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The outsider. Yeah.
Changes the dynamic.
Yeah, that's good.
Everyone's actually, very little of it would actually be about playing poker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the sort of, that's the vehicle to get them there.
Yeah.
It's just about the relationship of those people.
Yeah.
I feel like he needs a title, Dave. What's his working title?
Poker night.
Nice. I like it.
It's got to be, hasn't it? It's got to be.
Yeah. That's my other idea. But I think that's quite a sort of UK TV cheap to make weekly sitcom.
You don't like that, actually?
Yeah.
I think that would be definitely worth working up a bit of a treatment thing to see what the, just flesh out some characters, see what kind of balance can get in there. Think up some interesting little tweet, like maybe one of the guys is really old, the rest are kind of quite young, but there's one guy that's old, or there's Jimmy.
The other interesting thing about poker night is that you often play in each other's houses and you mix it up. So that'd be quite nice in a way.
You
meet the other wives who potentially someone's having an affair with. You know what I mean? You
meet
different people bringing different cameos. And
or there's someone, or there's one of the characters who never lets it go to their house.
Yeah,
and you don't know why. And then there's a reason. And then the episode where they ended up having to do it in the pub because no one's, and it just gets really wrong or there's...
Good, yeah.
Especially it kicks off with the rival poker group at the pub.
Yeah, if you've got maybe sort of...
It'd be the bridge club, wouldn't it? The bridge club would be in the corner.
Yeah.
But if you've got like six regulars and it's each week is in their house, that's your six episodes for your series.
Yeah, it's nice. I like it, Birdie.
Yeah, there we go. That's something. There's a starter.
Takes a lot of boxes out one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely.
There you go. So, you know, two ideas, but one of them was all right.
Yeah, no, they're both all right. Just, it's about getting them done before some other bugger does them, isn't it?
Yeah. Steve Martin's always jumping in first. That's the problem.
Yeah.
If we could get him attached to it quite early on, then he can't go and do another version of it, can he? So maybe email him.
Did you send that email, John, or did you...
That's gone, yeah. Not had a response yet, but...
I think it's just steve.martin at yahoo.com, isn't it, I think?
I think you're right.
Wow, I quite like that idea as well. Do you know what? Of the two ideas that... And it's not because they're both mine, but of the two ideas put forward so far...
What, the horses and the poker, yeah.
Oh, and the horses,
I think it's interesting listening back to that now, is you can tell how immediately we... got our hooks into that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Just it all the started... little ideas start flowing, you know, it's a good one.
It's a sign of a good idea,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, like, yeah.
All these building blocks and things just slot in. And...
So it turned out we peaked quite early.
Yeah, possibly.
Because following that was this.
Go on then, John. What's your idea for 2006?
one of my ideas, okay, is a bit weird. It's called Life of Byron. And it's about, imagine a sort of very silly historical comedy. It's Lord Byron, who lives in his halls of residence at university with his pet bear, which he did, apparently. And I'm imagining his pet bear is probably more intelligent than him. And basically, Lord Byron just wants to write poetry, really bad poetry, and sleep with as many people as possible and keeps getting into little scrapes. That's my starting point. That's about as far as I got.
Is the bear a bear?
The bear is a guy dressed as a bear.
Like a period piece.
It's a period piece, yeah. And I imagine the bear probably is actually the poet. He probably writes all the poetry, and Byron maybe does all of Byron's work at university as well, and Byron's left to just, you know, just to be a bit of an animal. It's quite niche. I appreciate it's quite niche. But then you have like you have John Keats as well. John Keats is like perhaps slightly fey, coughs a lot.
Mary Shelley part of that?
Yeah, Mary Shelley and Percy Shelley. Yeah, so maybe you bring in lots of the sort of romantics into the mix.
Because you probably won't have seen this, John. I haven't actually watched it, but there's that one called Upstart Crow.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, with David Mitchell.
I did recommend that. I'm surprised you haven't watched that yet, John, with it being Shakespeare.
No, I do need to watch that.
It kind of does everything you've just said.
Oh, is it? It's all quite similar.
It's exactly the same, but completely different in that it's exactly the same core concept, but it's delivered in a primetime BBC sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it's a bit more
cool.
I'm thinking about quite low budget.
It's not surreal, but it calls up all the historical characters in the same way and delivers them differently.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would be good as like more like The Young Ones. It's like The Young Ones, but with historical
points. That is exactly the kind of style I was thinking. Yeah. Sort of slightly anarchic, kind of very stupid, slapsticky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I could definitely see that working, yeah.
Almost like House of Fools, kind of. Not really making any sense or having any particular plot, you know. Well, there will be. There'll be a kind of a core thing that needs to be achieved in that, you know, he has to get this poem in on time or he'll get kicked out of university, or there'll be some stupid thing that has to happen, but.
I think that's a good idea. I think there's a danger that someone would just say on the slush pile that it would just be it's been done.
Yeah, possibly.
Upstart Crow. I don't know how you repitch that, because obviously the historical element is a huge thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think the way you might do it is just to cast all the characters however you wanted. So Byron could actually be a woman.
Yeah. I think it could. I think
it wouldn't necessarily need to be period, would it?
Not necessarily. I'm thinking the costumes are just pretty bad, but there could be a sort of mix of a Metallica t-shirt and a rough. It sort of doesn't matter.
Yeah, it could be a bit of a time period fish out of water kind of thing. You know, it kind of just...
Yeah, it's not very well thought through. This is a stage reaction.
You can get away with that at this stage.
I feel like it would have its own quite niche stupidity. That's my feeling about it. A lot of it would just come out of just messing about.
Yeah.
But I think one of those things. That is exactly the kind of thing, though, that would be handy to talk to your mate about. Do you know what I mean? Because I can get a feel of how that would work, but it's exactly the kind of thing that a TV exec would know more about.
I think that's maybe one of those ones where they'd want an attached comedian actor pairing duo that have done the festival, that are kind of on the lower ranks but do surreal comedy small gigs. Yeah.
You'd want to see a little bit of it, wouldn't you? You'd want a little flash of it to get a handle on it in a way.
To be honest, that sounds like one of the ones that needs making as a radio series.
Yeah, possibly.
With you know, so you've not got any of those constraints and you can kind of go full on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then if it makes it, then actually they're willing to invest a little bit into making that surreal universe work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's an awful lot of them that come through, like the Mighty Boosh did, didn't it?
Yeah. It does feel like it would be a massive gamble, wouldn't it?
It's
a bit off the wall. It's definitely not a prime timer.
I think that's fair to say.
I think that's fair to say. I just had this image of John sitting there researching Lord Byron, as he does often, and then just suddenly going, oh, shit, I need some ideas for some TV shows, right? I better just throw this one in.
I stand by my comment in that, though. I think it would make an excellent Radio 4 comedy.
Yeah. I mean, amongst all the other things that we're writing currently.
You should write that, John. Might do that as well.
Write Life of Byron. Write
radio play.
It's a winner, I'm telling you.
Historical radio play.
I don't know why I can't get the idea of James Acaster out of my head for this one. When you talk about sort of associating a comedian to it.
As Byron.
I think he's got that sort of whimsical air about him. I think he'd be quite good at that.
Yeah, that would work. And then if we could get the Bungle costume from Rainbow.
Yes!
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would work lovely, wouldn't it?
That would be so retro, wouldn't it?
Like the proper original one. That would just work,
really. And how does his voice go again? I can only think of Zippy.
Well, Bungle. Bungle's, yeah. I don't know.
It's quite normal, Bungle, isn't it?
It was quite normal, wasn't it? Yes. He was quite
normal. And Zippy talked like this.
And George was just kind of talking.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
How about it's cast with...
Rod, Jane and Freddie.
With all the characters from the original Rainbow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool
would that be?
Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty amazing.
Starring Geoffrey as Lord Byron.
Yeah, exactly. His bear as whatever the bear was called.
Zippy as Keats.
Come on, there's something in that. Is he still around? Did he die? Zippy.
Geoffrey, is he dead? Oh,
I feel like he might have died.
Yeah, I think he did.
That would put mockers on it, wouldn't it? But
it wasn't in one of the episodes or anything. It didn't happen like while kids were watching.
they just
old age later on.
Someone just pulled a curtain across.
I think Zippy did it. I think maybe that's what we should be. Murder mystery based around.
It's just like a foot
Rainbow
sticking through the curtain.
Ooh, Zippy, you need to dissolve his body in acid. Oh, now that's going to ruin my fire.
Brilliant. We'll do that one then.
Yeah. Again, see, it's another one that seems to be writing itself. So I think that's a good sign.
It is, isn't it? God, I wish we'd not broadcast that one on the podcast. So that's definitely going to go, that one, isn't it?
Probably, that's an absolute winner.
I think James Acaster's probably listening.
Look what Steve Martin's new project is. That's what we'll be like. Oh, yeah.
Stepping in for Geoffrey.
Enjoy watching Rainbow as a kid, did you, Steve Martin?
You see, I genuinely like to see that. I'd watch TV for that.
It's got Edinburgh Festival written all over that.
Yeah.
Hasn't it?
Yes.
If you could get hold of the original costumes as well, that would be
good. It has got a draw to it, hasn't it? Imagine the poster.
It really
the cast of Rainbow. as Jesus, yeah. like 19th century poets. Yeah. Just
I need to Google what Rod, legs. Jane and Freddie are doing now.
And you could start it off, couldn't you, with the Thames TV, you know, the...
Yeah. Da, 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 da.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Oh, my God, guys, is this actually the best brainstorm that's ever taken place? Is it just me?
Above the streets and houses, Byron's really high. It just works, doesn't it? Yeah.
There's something there.
Why didn't we do this years ago?
Would you like to hear the next idea?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we're on an upwards trajectory, aren't we? So definitely. Let's keep them coming.
Definitely.
I was going to say, we didn't do it years ago because we were too busy doing that... Bagpuss Thomas Hardy crossover thing you're trying to do.
Tommy. Yeah. Where should we go? Well, should we stick on the sitcom thing or should we go to a different genre?
Oh, go on then. Let's mix it up. Go to a different one.
I don't really want to say this one out loud, to be honest.
Yeah.
So I had this idea quite a while ago and I've always keep coming back to it, which Mitch thinks it's a good idea. So it's a game show where you've got two contestants and all they have to do to win the jackpot, to win the money, is just say, I'm taking the money.
Mm-hmm.
So the jackpot starts off at zero and slowly goes up throughout the show. So you just kind of got this constant standoff.
Are they doing anything in the meantime? They're just staring each other down.
They're just staring each other down while the pot goes up and they can chat with each other. They can kind of...
How fast is it going up? What are we talking?
I don't know. It may
you
be
can see the little rollers going.
And then it has some little jumps in there or something.
It's just got up to £4,000. Yeah.
And then you can see him kind of thinking, well, I can say that now and I can get £4,000 or I can wait. Because if they wait, then I can get more. But if I might just take it now. Well, he might just take it now. I'll take it.
Yeah.
So you get some that just wouldn't last. Someone will go, £200. I'll take the money. And go, what have you done there?
How about, as well, just to complicate it a little bit. I actually love the simplicity of that. But to complicate it, there was that old, an old psychology experiment, wasn't there, where you could either choose to share the money, and if both people...
There is a game show on TV like that.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Where the idea is to outbluff the other person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this kind of works if it's proper, if you're proper against each other. So maybe if you have to work together to build the jackpot.
Well, that's what I was thinking, whether the jackpot just arbitrarily ticks along and ticks up. And then there's a variety show going on around it.
Yeah, yeah. Because you could have...
So you could just have that in the...
You could have a load of tasks to get the money higher. You could have physical tasks and questions and...
I don't know. Yeah, I think there's something in the core of it.
Yeah, I like it.
There needs to be something, I think, where you work together to raise the...
Yeah. It's so
cruel.
To raise
the value of the pot.
It's so cruel, though.
Having to work together, but then knowing at any point one of you is going to screw the other one over... There's something in there. Like, cause you're essentially working to give money to the other person.
Feels like it maybe needs some kind of second twist on
Wouldn't it be lovely if there was some sort of, I don't know, because it's so cruel and so selfish that it doesn't say very much about humanity. And I feel like in these times, we need a bit more kindness or something. Like there's a way of flipping it round, or there's something.
Because there was that one with, what's his name? Kilroy, which was Cher or Shaft, wasn't it?
Cher or Shaft. I mean, the borderline on it's been done, hasn't it, really?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah.
I'd have to see what they look
next
like.
Next idea, then.
I was going along really nicely, wasn't it? Until we sort of realised it's been done before.
I think the trouble is with that, I think it is a brilliant idea, but... trying to add stuff onto it takes away from the idea. It just needs a production that's brave enough and big enough and has a personality big enough to carry it through as the presenter in one thing, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. The purity, you're right.
As soon as you start bringing all the other stuff that you feel you need to make it into something, then you kind of lose that. Literally, a game show where you don't have to know anything or do anything other than just say, I'll have all the money, please. Do you remember there's something beautiful in that central concept? And I think if you try.
Do you know what it is? It's because the way it would work best is obviously to have some decent prize money, because that increases the conflict and the interest in it, doesn't it? But in order to. Ideally, the TV companies are trying to eke as much sort of, you know, TV time out of that money as possible, aren't they? And the problem is, can you stretch that idea for. you know, half an hour. That's quite a tricky, it's quite a big ask, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Just waiting for that yeah, moment.
Need, yeah. Yeah.
That's yeah. kind of why you need to, you need stuff before it. You need to sort of build the pot or something.
Yeah, but there is, it's true, there is also something just in the image of two people staring yeah. at each other whilst just
waiting for
whilst
that moment.
Number,
yeah.
yeah, whilst the number behind them just gets bigger and bigger and bigger.
Do you
bigger.
Know what I might do? I might take that idea and use it in a story, in yeah. a book. So that could be a yeah. game show that exists in this world. And yeah, imagine yeah. if yeah. it's got, you know, it kind of normally tips off at $5,000 or something like that. But this one's been going yeah. on for years. There's two people who've been in it for years.
yeah.
It's like on 28 million or something like that. And they're just having this stand-up.
Yeah.
And it's on like the big screens in Piccadilly Circus or wherever in Times Square, yeah. all around the world.
There is something a bit dystopian about yeah. it. It's so horrible, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah.
It is just totally about the yeah. money and about
greed.
Screwing, yeah, about greed and shafting someone.
So yeah, but if it's gone on for years and then it turns out they're actually both dead. They've been staring at each other for years.
They're just robots.
Yeah. yeah, they haven't moved for years.
So yeah, we'll put that on, we'll park that. We'll park
but
that.
I can see that. I do. You know, you get that in movies, don't you, when action's taking place and then there's a screen behind them in Times Square or something. And on the screen, this number's still going up and up and up and up. And it's in millions and millions of pounds. It's a nice image.
Mm.
Right. Next.
Next.
This one I quite like. I think could work quite well. Okay, so... two dead brothers are brought back to life by their black magic worshipping sister.
John, yeah, you're going to have to start again because all I got was interference and then you going, and I think that worked quite well.
I wondered why you were laughing. I was like, it's not that funny yet. I mean, it's quite good, but it's not funny yet. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So two dead brothers are brought back to life by their black magic worshipping sister to find out how they died. They died under mysterious circumstances and no one really knows what happened. And so she brings them back to life to her own surprise, to be fair. And they're basically zombies, right? So they've been rotting for quite a long time. There's bits falling off them. They look like zombies, but they're just like chatting away and they can't really remember. They remember certain elements of the night they died, but they don't remember everything.
I would imagine they're not very good at communicating as well.
They've got a bit of tongue left. So, you know, they can form words quite well, but yeah. And there's like a neighbor who watches a lot of zombie movies. He's always trying to behead them in every episode. Unaware that they're effectively like the good guys. They're trying to track down the bad guy. So it's a kind of a murder mystery comedy, but they're two zombies trying to find who killed them, in effect.
So and they've got to find out who did it before they completely fall apart.
Yeah, I think there's probably some kind of by midnight on this day, and their bits keep falling off them, like they'll lose an arm.
But
they've got some kind of time limit where they're allowed to be around for a while, but I think there's a bit of comedy in the you know, they'll like watch some YouTube videos on makeup and contouring, and they'll like fill in the gaps and then make themselves up. But the video is actually to make yourself up to look like Cameron Diaz. So they both look a bit like Cameron Diaz for one of the episodes. I don't know.
I could see them. Like one of them ends up having to work behind the counter somewhere at KFC or something like that.
Dropping a finger in.
Because it's all full of moody 16-year-olds anyway that no one notices. It's just they all act the same.
That's good.
Yeah,
like it's built up like they're going to stick out and it's going to be everyone's going to find out. But then when you go in,
everyone's just like that anyway. Can I take your order, please?
And then you can imagine going, actually, no, this still works. I really like that, John.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's got something to it.
I think there needs to be another element of something else is going to happen, an element of peril, because at the minute it's two people need to find out how they died before they fall apart and they can't find that out. There needs to be another element of, like, if they don't figure that out in time...
Then someone else dies.
The sister? Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have, in the first episode, you could have one brother dying, couldn't you? If it's something that's, and then have the other brother dying in that episode,
or even the next episode,
and so she brings one of them back to life, and then she realizes she can bring the other one.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Not back to life, but back to, I don't know, like, so, then you need the death to be someone's next, but what you need to work out what that would actually be make sense in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And why is her life at risk? Because she's starting to find out too much? I don't know. Yeah, you're absolutely right, Dave. I think it needs the next level of peril. Yeah.
I like the core concept a lot.
Yeah, it does need a bit of thought.
There's a show worth looking at. I can't remember what it's called, about a zombie with a real girlfriend, just to make sure it's not too... There isn't that sort of element of peril, I don't think.
I'll have a look, yeah, because you're right, if that is a comedy, then some of the dead person fingers falling in the KFC may have been done already, but yeah.
Yeah, so is that one?
Yeah, I think there is something about that idea. I don't think it works as a sitcom necessarily, but...
No, it's not set. Yeah, it's not set in one place enough, is it? It's more of a sort of comedy horror drama
screenplay, isn't it?
Yeah,
possibly.
But that's one of those that needs fully writing, I think, to realise itself. Doesn't it?
Hang on, just let me put that on my to-do list as well.
I mean, I'd do the Byron Radio thing first, and then do the screenplay the week after.
Yeah, right. This screenplay. Yeah, it's funny though, that first bit where we didn't hear what you were saying, John. I'm expecting there to be quite a lot of different dramas and things about the sort of unheard of bits of communication from Zoom calls.
It drops out. And so...
Yes. So there was that one. I mean, these aren't as bad as I remember them, if I'm being honest.
No, it's not monkey tennis, is it? These are quality ideas.
No, it's definitely not monkey tennis. You want more?
Why not?
You want more? I'll give you more.
You might like this one, Dave. This was designed with you in mind to some extent. This idea for a sitcom where first episode, a couple of guys in the flat maybe, and one of them, I don't know how it would work, but one of them kind of gets sucked into the TV somehow, or gets influenced by the TV. And basically each episode is, it's like a meta sitcom. So the guy gets himself into some scrapes, and in order to get out of
the sitcom.
Yeah, in per episode. But in order to get out of them, he has to work out what would happen in a sitcom. So like a typical 80s sitcom, basically. So it might even reference back to what happened in Only Fools and Horses or Goodnight Sweetheart.
You could have
Keeping Up Appearances, or some others do have him or whatever.
Yeah.
Is a solution to how he gets out of his scrape.
Yeah, you could have parodies of existing sitcoms.
It's a sitcom version of Quantum Leap.
Yes. I was just going to say that. Yes.
That's good.
Yeah. It's Quantum Leap. That's the log line, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's Quantum Leap, but the answer is sitcom.
And why is it happening to him?
Because he got sucked into the TV.
Yeah. Well, why did Quantum Leap happen?
But that might be the long story. What the hell's
leaping
going on?
Sitcom to sitcom.
But just I love, the thing is, I'm addicted to parodies.
Yeah,
I love them. I think there's just some lovely touch points on it.
Yeah, I love the fact that you could go back to a sort of 70s slightly racist sitcom and have to exist in that world, and then into a sort of an American Modern Family type situation.
Yeah,
and just all of those different.
So I don't know whether it'd be going into, or whether he just need to use plot devices from sitcoms to get out of his current... I don't know. But it's almost like a computer adventure game, you know, where it makes you do stuff to do stuff.
Yeah.
So you'd have to go, the piano needs to fall off the roof, doesn't it? Or whatever, like, so then he's trying desperately to make the thing happen or whatever. Oh, no, she needs to get a dress caught in the door or something, or whatever the thing is. Oh, look what's happened. Oh, mistaken identity. Oh, I've got two wives and I'm having tea with them. It's two restaurants next door to each other.
I always see it like, what's that bloody film? It's one of the Marvel movies. Marvel movies. In Endgame, you know, where they go back into the past and they're dealing with themselves in a previous movie.
Right. No, I don't. You know,
like the action from the first Avengers movie is going on, and they've gone back in time to try and steal something from something. I see it kind of like that, where you've got real footage of, like, you know, the hotel at Fawlty Towers, and there, you know, the character is sort of in the hotel whilst this other stuff's going on.
That would be quite cool, wouldn't it? If you could borrow actual sitcoms.
That probably is expensive.
If you could get permission to do that.
But it strikes me as quite an expensive idea if you're going to be literally
you're going to do it properly.
His ordinary life could turn into a sitcom, couldn't it? So we see his ordinary life, and then he gets sucked into the TV, and he feels like he's still in his ordinary life, but then he realises there's canned laughter in his ordinary life. Like, his ordinary life turns into a sitcom. So he works out that he needs to
get through. It's almost like the Truman Show, kind of.
It's also like WandaVision.
All right, okay. I haven't seen that, but I've seen clips. That scene.
Yeah. In WandaVision, two characters from Marvel movies, two superheroes, basically wake up inside a sitcom from the 1950s or 60s.
Right, that sounds quite right. Like this now.
Sounds a lot annoyingly like it.
Yeah.
And they're kind of trying to work out how the hell they're there. So they're trying to live a life, but they can hear there's canned laughter and...
I've never even seen that. So that's annoying. It's harder than it looks, this, isn't it?
There's another one. Another one.
Do you hear that sound of the bubble burst?
Yeah. Your voice has just suddenly gone, really.
I haven't seen that one. Okay.
Brutal.
That was awful, actually. That was terrible because I started listening to myself explaining the idea, thinking, yeah. And then went through the whole process again.
All over again. Reliving the horror. Yeah.
Well, that means it's a good idea. That's what you need to take from these things, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you have no knowledge of that thing and you've come up with a similar kind of concept, then you've had a good idea.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Probably would have been cheaper than WandaVision as well.
Oh,
we're back on horseback then, aren't we? With Hugh Scully.
That's all we've got at the minute, but it is a bloody good one, isn't it? Antiques Roadshow on horseback.
Yeah. So it was at this stage.
Should we check whether any of the current hosts can actually ride or not, or is it too early at this?
Oh, I expect...
fire off a few emails. And just,
I think Fiona... What's her name? Fiona...
Bruce.
Fiona Bruce, she can ride a horse.
Surely.
If I know anything, it's that Fiona Bruce can ride a horse.
I'm just going to put it in Google now, see.
She'll have stables and everything.
Right. I think so.
It's come up as a suggestion.
I think she's been
it's
riding
come up as one
from
of the
an
suggestions.
Early age.
Does Fiona Bruce ride horses?
There we go.
How many people are searching for that?
Not the first to wonder.
Looks from a Times article in 2016. She says then she took up horse riding about 5 years ago. So she's been horse riding for 10 years.
Well, there we go.
There you go. Email her, Dave. Now
I will.
Fiona.bruce@gmail.com.
That's the one. Yeah. Let's do it.
Hello and welcome to the 3:30 at Aintree. They're under starters' orders, and they're off! First out of the blocks, it's Found It in the Attic, followed closely by Fished It from a Skip. Also quick off the line, It Belonged to My Father, but I don't really know where he got it from. And a horse is down! A horse is down! Who is it? I can't quite see. Oh, it's... I'm sorry, it's a fake! I'm sorry, it's a fake! One of the pre-race favourites is down! As they reach halfway, Fished It from a Skip still has it by a nose, but coming out quickly on the outside, It Belongs to a Friend, but I desperately want it to be on television. Moving through the field, we've got Lovely Piece But Worthless. Haven't seen one of these for a while, and would be worth a fortune if it wasn't for that crack. But still, leading the way, it's Fished It from a Skip. Fished It from a Skip is going to win, but no! Right at the death, here comes Just Tell Me How Much! Just Tell Me How Much is going to take it! Just Tell Me How Much wins the Antiques Roadshow Classic, ridden by Fiona Bruce. What an amazing ending! What a race! What a horse! What a woman!
So I think it was around this stage we were...
Gave up.
Okay, let's look at what we've got and let's decide what we think is the best idea. And this is where we went next.
Well, so far, I like the Poker Night and I like the Byron University thing thus far to sort of develop a bit more.
Yeah.
I think Poker Night is probably the one to... hang something on, isn't it?
In terms of develop a little bit.
I think so because I think it's got the cheapness about it.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it doesn't need that extra development. You know, like we're saying with the Byron thing, where you kind of think, you probably do need to have something to attach to it.
It needs
to have had a stage show that's been going for 6 months or something. You know, there needs to be some. Whereas Poker Night scripted out, I can see that.
Yeah,
yeah. I think they're just normal, just regular people. That's the thing, isn't it? They're not like...
But with their own weird angles or their own things or like people do or...
It's a good little macrocosm, isn't it? Because everybody's personalities really come out in the playing of the game as well. It's a proper like psychological...
Yeah, well, I think I was just going to say that. I think you can have... Do you mean like Danny might have a massive chip on his shoulder about parking? You know, like some people just get really weird about parking.
Yeah.
Oh, not the cake, no.
No, yeah. Do you know something? You can take little things like that and just kind of like. So that's what it would be about, in my mind, is that kind of taking tiny little normal things.
Yeah, and there's one person who just gets absolutely battered every time.
Apart from the one time he doesn't.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it's like, whoa, what's the?
Yeah, what's going on? He's
pregnant.
Maybe he's pregnant.
Yeah.
He's pregnant.
That'd be good, wouldn't it? Have a bit of trans Activision in it. Like have a proper
interesting.
So that'd be interesting if you had someone like some weird questions going on, but only one of them would know that, and it'd be lovely because they've been to school together, say.
Yeah.
Or they've been out together when they were younger or something, and then one of them has transitioned, and obviously the other person who's been with them all the time is just like, well, that's just who they are. Do you mean doesn't even bear mentioning? Yeah, yeah. It's quite a nice thing for the modern world, isn't it? Just say, well. Why the fuck didn't you tell us? It's like, well, tell you what. It's just, that's who Jim is. That's
be a little surprise, wouldn't it?
That's what needs to be on it. Like making it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But making it normal. It's just a.
Anything could happen, you know, and down to little things like, so you've got some people who take the game really seriously. Some people who it's all about just meeting up with
friends.
That'd
be great if it was one guy that just doesn't take it seriously and invariably wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or is just playing on his phone.
Is that good? Is that good?
Yeah. We've been playing for 20 years and how do you not know that that's the best hand you could possibly have?
Yeah. Just there would have to be someone who just loves playing really stupid games as well. Like really massively overly complicated games. They have to explain every single time they play it.
Yeah. And someone's like, some of them want it to sort of stay, everything should be the same every time. So they've got to have the same snacks. If they haven't, if you don't have a particular brand of crisps, it's ruined. Whereas other people, you know, they want to change things and perhaps introduce some new people to the group. Like you said, someone brings a friend along. I think there's a lot you can do with a really, when you've got that sort of tight group of friends together, little changes here and there can have massive implications. Yeah. So there's a lot you can do without really, it doesn't have to be a big story idea every week. You know, the story can be, John forgets the crisps. Do you know what I mean? And then from that, you've got a whole episode.
Yeah, just a little grievance, and then someone gets really upset and walks out. And
then you can just it just become about characterization, doesn't it? You've got a Billy bullshitter.
Exactly.
You've got someone who thinks he's doing really well in life, and he's always name dropping, and making sure his brand new BMW keys are on the table. You know, like kind of he's playing the. That's the thing you want in it, actually, isn't it? You want these group of six people that don't really like each other. Like, they're friends, but because of the poker. It's because they've been doing it for ages.
Yeah, they've come together sort of slightly piecemeal because they've invited their mate who they thought...
But then they've let that guy originally has left, and then you're left with this kind of...
They've known each other for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, good. It's a little bit too close to our poker group, to be fair.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say it probably is. You could probably bring in some pretty big stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know, in that nice way where you have that kind of proper British bittersweet comedy sort of thing.
Mm.
During where it's bringing serious stuff, you know, grief or addiction or whatever. Do you remember like proper like...
That works really well if they're sort of our age. Now, I mean, they've known each other a long time. Yeah. It used to be a fun thing, but now... they're talking about, you know, one of them's lost a parent or whatever, you know, the stuff that's actually starting to happen to people in our age group. You've got kids now, you've got aging parents, you've got job issues, stress, fucking ulcers and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Poker night.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right, get it in, Dave. Cool. When's it?
I think that's...
I think Tommy summed that up, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I got excited about that idea so much that after we went off our Zoom call, I literally went straight on, opened up Word, and saved a document called Poker Night.
And is there anything in that document, Tom? Or
Well, no, but you got to... Yeah,
you've got to start
no,
so. I thought you were going to say, I was so excited about it, I went straight online, opened up an account, and I've been gambling consistently for the past week.
I got so excited about it, I went online and looked at the exact same premise of the American sitcom Poker Evening. It's interesting, in all these clips of the brainstorm, though, isn't it, that John edited these clips for us to put into the show, and he just decided to miss out completely my bargain hunt parody. So even in the outtakes of ideas, it wasn't even good enough to get into the ideas that weren't good enough.
Things had to go, Tom. Isn't it? Things had to go.
Yeah, no, I completely appreciate it. Yeah,
but I think that's we know what we're doing now, don't we? All we've got to
do. Are we all still excited about that? Do we get
I genuinely think that's a good idea.
I love it. Actually, the more I think about it, the more I like it. I actually started to work out the characters. Yesterday, I started to illustrate them, to draw them, so I could kind of see them in my head. I think that helps because you can start to see how they tessellate and work together. I think
it's going to be terrible, isn't it? When we spend all the time writing it, it gets commissioned, and John digs his heels in when it comes to casting.
It doesn't look
series.
Like the picture.
Right, we do not have anyone on our books that looks like a stick man with a head twice the size of their body.
I was going to say,
we just can't.
Are you any good at drawing, John? Because I'm imagining what it would look like if I tried to draw the characters from something, and that, I don't think that would be a help in any way.
I wouldn't say I'm good at drawing, but I can visually represent something vaguely that's in my head.
We're going to put John's drawings on the blog.
I think we should absolutely. That's what absolutely. We need to do. Because I just can't help but see this as a really brilliant procrastination technique. I need to write this, but first I'm going to draw a picture.
The characters.
I knew that interview with Jason we did last week would have end up having
yeah,
bad
exactly. It all comes in handy.
On John.
Yeah.
Yeah. John's like, I'll just draw stuff now. That's all right. Jason made it sound easy, didn't he? Just draw stuff. I'll just do that.
Well, I tell you what, John. Why don't you just animate the whole thing? Instead of we don't need to film idea. It, do we? You just draw.
Oh my! You tell you what, the Byron and his bear would make a brilliant animated series.
I was thinking that actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what? You're right.
Because that's what yeah. So I don't know. You want like 20? Let's do it for the sort of 22 minutes American standard, 26 frames a second. So 26 times 60 times 22. That's not that many pictures you'd have to draw, John.
No, well, a lot of them are the same, aren't they?
They all seem like quite small numbers.
And they're all very similar. Most of them all look like the characters from Rainbow anyway, so it's easy.
Maybe you could. Do you think you could just get all the old footage of Rainbow?
And just maybe.
Do a sort of cassette boy job on it.
Yeah. I wandered lonely as a cloud. I think that'd work.
So the plan is we're going to get back together with a few ideas of characters and maybe gags and stuff.
Yeah.
And we're
going to
have another little confab, aren't we? Yeah. And then hopefully put a proper treatment together.
Proper pitch document.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we've done that, we'll pitch it. We'll pitch it to Rich and see what he says.
See what
happens.
Look
forward to that episode. Speaking of coming episodes.
Feedback. Oh, yeah.
What have we got next week, Tommy?
Oh, we've got another interview with a children's author this time, Adam Bushnell.
Yes.
That was good fun.
Another first.
Again, it's just another slightly different perspective, and I don't want to ruin it all for you. Listen next week. But he goes into schools and talks to kids and kind of tries to inspire them about writing, which is just about our level, isn't it? So I'm hoping he might inspire us in the same way he would inspire a seven-year-old.
Yes, that's what we need.
We're very much on that level. But no, really interesting. And also, actually, we will be talking about... Oh, well, come on, help me out here. What was it actually called?
NaNoWriMo.
National...
NaNoWriMo.
Something, November, Writed something, month. Novel in a month.
Month,
thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's it. Yep. Very knowledgeable about these things.
So we're all going to have a go, aren't we? We're all going to have a go at writing a whole novel in a month at the same time.
Are we all going to have a go? Because John was talking about maybe just, a bit busy, can't commit the time.
Yeah, I might not finish a novel. Let's be totally honest here.
Let's be honest.
Are you going to start?
But I am going to start. I have already started plotting.
Oh, brilliant.
I'm going to crack on with it and see how far
I
get.
Let's be honest. I'm not going to finish a novel in a month either. The whole point is having a go, isn't it? It's the taking part. that counts.
I think I am going to finish a novel in a month.
So are we all going to do? Are we all going to do our mystery thrillers? Is that what we're going to write in a month?
Yeah. Well, Tommy's got two lined up. So
well, Thomas. I think I've decided. Oh, yeah. Now. I think I've decided. I'm going to go with my original one, not my.
Oh, really?
But it is still a murder mystery, though, isn't it? So
there's not actually a murder in it, but yes, it is.
Yeah.
Well, there might be a murder.
Who knows?
But yeah, I was plotting it out, and it was amazing because I'd pantsed it before and kind of like scribbled out a rough outline. But going through the proper plot points and stuff, it was hitting pretty much all of the points in the right. And I'm thinking maybe I do know how to write a story.
Maybe everything's seeped
maybe
in.
Maybe this planning is a waste of time.
The last 25 weeks have actually taught us something. Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Possibly that. Yeah.
So yeah, so I think I'm going to go with that.
That's
one.
Cool.
Yeah.
And
very good.
Also, whilst we're doing that, because one thing just isn't enough, whilst we're all writing an entire novel in a month, we're also going to be reviewing some writing software at the same time and then talking about that to our loyal listeners.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's an extra level or layer of excitement.
And by the time this goes out, we will also have done another New York Midnight Flash Fiction.
Just never ending,
contest.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
So the best way to put it is that there's a lot coming up. So the best thing that you could do if you want to hear it is to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already done so.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you want to, by the way, sorry, going back a little bit there, if you're thinking of doing NaNoWriMo as well, come and join our little group.
Yes.
I've set up a group which is just failing writers. So if you search failing writers, send us a, I guess, I don't know whether you send us an email and then I invite you or whether you can just join and then I let you in. I'm not quite sure how it
looks
works.
Looks like this, is a well thought out thing that we've got going
yeah,
on here.
It's a very well thought out thing. But I imagine if you search failing writers.
Come on, it's as well thought out as anything else we've done, isn't it?
That's true.
I reckon if you search failing writers, that'll be how you do it.
Was that so? You have to on the NaNoWriMo website.
Yeah.
Yes.
Once you're all signed up.
And it was one of our listeners, Mark, who suggested we should do that, which was a good idea.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yes. Thanks. Thanks to Mark Boardman for that suggestion.
Although it does make you kind of feel like you want to be one of those, you know, the teachers used to go, well, if you think you can teach the class better, you come up here, Mark. Huh? You come and do the podcast then.
Yeah, you can't win.
You're listening to the Failing Writers Podcast. Remember to subscribe, and we'd love it if you could leave us a review too. As long as you've got something nice to say, obviously.
Did you ever call your teacher mum? Because that was like the most embarrassing thing you could manage to do, wasn't it, as a kid?
But I think in primary school, the worst thing that could happen was to call your teacher mum. In secondary school, the worst thing that happened, just because it usually during register, wasn't it? You'd say, yes, mum. But in secondary school,
it's
the worst thing that could happen.
It's still embarrassing now, isn't it?
Yeah. The worst thing would be when you went to say, yes, miss, but your voice would just go, yes, miss, by accident. That's the most embarrassing thing in secondary school.
I once called a teacher mum in middle school and got told off for it.
Got told off?
Oh. Yeah.
Turned
it
out.
It was actually my mum.
It was actually your mum.
It was actually my mum. And she said, it's Mrs. Turner while I'm at school. Mum, come on.
I once said to it's not quite the same thing, but the train conductor who was coming to check the tickets, I think I was trying to say buddy and mate at the same time, and it came out babe. So I said, thanks, babe. The look he gave me, and you know when you're like, I need to explain that now. I need to explain what I've done, but I haven't got time now. He's leaving. He's gone off. God. Yeah. So every time I saw him, he never looked me in the eye again.
Which was uncomfortable because you dated him for like 3 months, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It was really awkward. Yeah.
Just best not to speak to anyone, isn't it? I think that's
I think so, Dave.
Yeah.
I think that is my new policy.
But anyway, the point was subscribe
point?
So you don't miss
well,
out.
I think
we had a point. Yeah, about an hour ago, there was a point which was to subscribe to the podcast to make sure you don't miss out on any of these thrilling stories about Tom's childhood.
We're kind of like a mullet, aren't we? As a podcast, if we had to be a hairstyle, we would be a mullet, wouldn't we?
Hey, mullets are very trendy, man.
We kind of start off at the start and it's all neat and tidy and we get to the point and here's some stuff, here's a nice interview. Then the end is just kind of...
Trails on.
Whatever, man, it's just party time.
Right down your back. So there you go. Join us for a bit of Adam Bushnell next week. Be very
Yeah, very
exciting.
Good, very good. Until then,
yes.
Dear listener.
Have a great time.
That's the number of the issue, Dave. That's it. You've summed it all lovely there. Have a lovely time.
Cheerio then, everyone. Goodbye.
Hello.
Hello.
Where's everybody gone?